Thank you. Abraham, it's easy for you to see me, and it's easy for me to see my homeless brother in the woods, but I can't see how to make the next step, let's say, towards you. It's unclear. I can't see the path. The path is unclear no matter which way I turn, and it's been for a long time.
Well, the reason for that, and it's all right that it is that way, is when you have been listening for others to give suggestions, or when you have been seeking approval from someone who gives it to you for different reasons, it's easy to train yourself away from the guidance system that is undeniable. It's why we like to use the analogy that the journey between Phoenix and San Diego is quantifiable. And the way you make your path undeniable is by feeling for it on an emotional basis more than thinking for it. When you separate the reality of what is happening from your mood or attitude about it, now you begin to deal with things vibrationally, which is the basis of all things, rather than in terms of action. People will say, where I am is unpleasant, I want to be over there, and then I will feel better. And we say, you have to find a way of feeling better, or you cannot move over there. And people say, well, give me a reason to feel better, and then I'll feel better. And we say, you have to conjure the better feeling. You have to guide with vibration, and the manifestation follows the vibration. Jerry and Esther have had several experiences that are so emphatic lately, and we are trying to choose among them the one that is the most emphatic. So, some time ago, Esther was sitting in a hotel room, and it happened to be the day that she had in her possession her first laptop computer. And she was watching an interview on television because Winfred Marsalis was being interviewed, and they had just seen him, a brilliant jazz musician, at Martha's Vineyard. So Esther watched the show because he was going to be on it. And his interview was delightful. Esther could feel that he knows or seems to know what she's learning from Abraham. And then another man was being interviewed who is an author. Esther did not know the author, but the interviewer said to him, how is it that you write the dialogue for the characters in your award-winning books? And he said, I don't write their dialogue. He said, I identify who the character is, and the character writes his own dialogue. Well, shivers went up Esther's spine when she heard that, and she said, Abraham, what do you think about that? And we said, well, let's see. Open your computer. So Esther opened her new computer, opened a word processing program, and we began to describe to Esther Sarah, a little girl who lives in a mountain town. So Esther took about 3 or 4 pages of dictation as we described who Sarah is and how she feels in her town. And then we said to Esther, listen. And so Esther just sat there and listened, and she heard the words, Sarah lay in her bed, disappointed to find herself awake. And off she was going with this new book. So Esther wrote for about an hour that night and received the first 2 or 3 chapters of the first Sarah book. There is a series of them happening now, you may be aware. And then Esther got busy with Jerry doing all kinds of things and didn't think about this again for a week or 2 or 3 or 4. Then they drove to San Diego. And while they are in San Diego, they are staying at a hotel, and across the street from the hotel is an industrial park. And in the industrial park is a beautiful Zen garden, a beautiful walking trail. And so Jerry and Esther for years have gone there when they are at that hotel and they take their walks in these beautiful gardens. And so they're walking around the gardens and they came upon a rise in the garden, and Jerry said, there's a little bridge over there we haven't seen, and they crossed the bridge. And as they crossed the bridge, they looked out, and out in the middle of the water was a statue of an owl just sitting there. And Jerry and Esther didn't think much about it. There is an owl, a beautiful owl, not a real owl, but a beautiful owl. And they went on and finished their walk, and then they went to the hotel where they were holding a meeting. And a man that Jerry and Esther had met for some time approached them. They, in fact, they had seen him, sort of coincidentally, meditating down by the cove when they were down taking their walk. And so their relationship with him was becoming stronger and stronger. Life was just sort of showing things to them. And he walked up to them, and he said, "I want to introduce you to my friend. This is my friend, Solomon." And Jerry and Esther said, "Oh, nice to meet you, Solomon." And in his hand, he had a book, and Esther thought he was giving it to her. And she said, "Are you giving this book to me?" And he pulled it back. "No, I brought this book for myself." And Esther is embarrassing herself. She is tugging this book out of his hands. She said, "But I must have this book." And he said, "But I did not bring this book to you, Esther. I brought this book for myself. You cannot have this book." And Esther said, "Please, please, let me have this book just for a minute. I want to show it to Jerry." She did not know why she had to have that book. So she took the book. She didn't even open the pages of it. She took it to the room. She showed it to Jerry. Jerry didn't comment about it. Jerry brought the book back, gave it to the friend, and the next day Esther said to Jerry, "What was that book about?" And Jerry said, "Oh, I scanned it briefly. I didn't find it too interesting. It was about talking animals." So now, if any of you have been reading the Sarah series, you now know that it's a story of a little girl who lives in a little mountain town who one day while she's walking down a trail meets a giant owl on Thacker's Trail who begins talking to her and teaching her everything that Abraham. And the reason that we are giving this to you is that without even knowing it, the universe was delivering to Esther pieces of what would come next. In other words, the story is already written, the story is already known, but the universe was delivering to Esther little pieces of it that after the fact, she could begin to see how it is fitting together. So many years go forward. Many people have come to them and said to them, "We want to do a movie on the Sarah series." And for one reason or another, Jerry and Esther have not found it to be compatible. And then a man who Jerry and Esther have known for many years, he's been coming to the gatherings. Jerry's been saying, "I believe that there's something for us to play with Stuart." And Esther would say, "I know I can feel it too, but I don't know what it is." Well, it's enough that they don't know what it is, and it's enough that they know that it will be sometime later. Just an inkling, nothing very bright, just a sort of feeling that there is something there. So for years, they see Stuart. They say hello to Stuart. He comes to their gatherings. They don't exchange many words. They like him very much. He likes them very much. And then he approaches them. "I would like to do a movie relative to the Sarah series." And on the last movie he was shooting, he now tells Jerry and Esther that on the last day of shooting, an owl flew into the barn they were shooting in, and an owl's feather fell on the director's chair. So now things are starting to light up a little, you see. So he contacts Jerry and Esther, and they tell him that they are very busy and that they really don't have the time to put towards something like that. But he says to them, "Well, let me write a treatment." And they say, "All right." And he writes a treatment, and they don't like it. And then Esther explains to him that the Sarah story has to remain true to itself. It must have vibrational integrity. And he says, "I know, but it will sometimes take 3 or 4 or 5 treatments before we get it right." And Esther said, "We really don't have time for 4 or 5 treatments. If you really don't understand Solomon as I understand Solomon, and you really don't understand Sarah as I understand Sarah, then we probably don't want to go further." In other words, it's still not lighting up. It's something that's there, but it's not lighting up. Sort of what you were describing a little bit. And then more time passes, and then Jerry and Esther are having a seminar in San Diego, and Stuart comes to the San Diego seminar. And they wave at him across the room, they exchange no words, and a couple of days later they receive a FedEx package from him, and in the package he sends them a CD with a note that says, "The seminar was so wonderful. I am a musician. I have won a Philharmonic Award when I was younger, and I was inspired to write this music. This sounds like Abraham music to me." And Esther put it in the player and went out of her mind with appreciation for it. It felt like Abraham music to her, too. And all of a sudden, words for a Sarah musical began flooding in Esther's mind. So she called Stuart and she reached him. They were sitting in the parking lot having a burrito at Del Taco. And Esther is out of her mind with enthusiasm. Now it is lighting up. She calls him and says, "Stuart, Sarah has to be a musical." And he is quiet, and he said, "All of my life I've wanted to do a musical." And Esther said, "All of my life I've wanted to do a musical." Esther says, "Let me describe to you 4 or 5 or 6 scenes from this book that I know would be very good for a song and see what you can do with the music." 2 days later, Esther receives 7 songs from Stuart. And 2 days later, Esther has written the lyrics. She has a knack for that. Esther has written the lyrics for all seven songs, and they are on fire. And then another thing and another thing and another thing. We cannot begin to tell you the things that are coming into place for this. It's not effort. It is that suddenly it's right in front of you, and as you see it, your enthusiasm for it is so intoxicating that to say no to it would be out of the question. In other words, it's already in vibrational escrow. Long before Jerry and Esther knew Stuart, Stuart and his musical were in their vibrational escrow. Long before Stuart knew Jerry and Esther or had read the Sarah series, all of that was in his vibrational escrow, and all of them have been in the process of coming into alignment with who they are, getting their life in the place that it needs to be. And suddenly, when everything is lined up right, then things start to show up. And until then, you're right to pass on them. You see what we're getting at? Jerry and Esther have a friend who has written a book. The book is called Why Your Life Sucks and What to Do About It. Really a very good book. His name is Alan Cohen, and in the book, he has a segment where he talks about if something is a hell yes, then follow it. But if it's not, if it's anything other than a, I really want to do this, then it's equivalent of saying hell no. And the reason that we are bringing this up is because in light of what you are getting at, of wanting to make a decision, if it is limp, if it could go either way, then you haven't done the energy alignment work that is necessary. It's like picking the fruit that isn't ripe and then complaining that it doesn't taste good. And we say, let everything ripen. And the way you let that happen is by working on the thought and getting it into alignment. Let your work be an emotional journey, not a thinking journey. Don't try to think your way to your projects or to your success. Life and the contrast is what's thrown all that over in vibrational escrow. Every day that you're living and you know what you don't want, you put another piece of what you do want in it. All of these pieces that you are throwing over there into this vibrational escrow are melding together. The source energy you is becoming them, and the picture is beginning to form, and you don't have to figure out or dictate the path through which this stuff will unfold. All you have to do is do your best to chill out, do your best to feel good, do your best to appreciate, do your best to feel as good as you can feel, and what's percolating over there in vibrational escrow will say, hey, look over here. And when you look, you won't say, oh, I'm wondering about this. Esther didn't listen to this music and say to Jerry, what do you think about this? She didn't call Stuart and say, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I had an idea. I wanted to run by you. She screamed at Jerry, this is what I've been waiting for. He's who I've been looking for. This is how this must be. Before they had even left the parking lot, Esther had seen the whole thing in her mind's eye. By the time she reached Stuart, there was no way he could have turned away from that. And no way that he would have wanted to turn away from it, because it was already over there in his vibrational escrow too. You see what we're getting at? There is no possible way that you are not creating wonderful things. But there is a possibility of any of you being so tied up in the details of whatever it is that you are living, that you're holding yourself vibrationally just out of sync with what is lighting up. Everything has the potential of lighting up, and lighting up fast. What your life is supposed to be is just a series of saying, oh, that's the best idea I can find from here, and oh, that's the best idea I can find from here, and oh, that's the best idea I can find from here. And what begins to happen as you begin deliberately turning in the direction of the thoughts that feel better and better and better is that the things that light up are bigger and bigger and bigger and more and more and more exhilarating as they light up. You get the sense of what we're talking about? Life is supposed to be fun and will be. It was never supposed to be a struggle. So when you say, I can't tell which decision to make, what that always means is there hasn't been enough reaching for the thought that feels best to come into true alignment with what's already over there in your vibrational escrow. Do you believe us when we say that because of who you were before you were even born, and who you have become as a result of the contrast that you've been living, that there are things ready to pop that would just knock your socks off on every subject in the world?
I'm going to say yes, but the message is unclear. And I find that after the fact, when it's gone, the message has gone by me,
Well, that after the fact thing, you see, what you're thinking and feeling and what manifests are always a vibrational match. So if you wait until something happens before you see it, we call that post-manifestational awareness. That's like it has to manifest before you're able to decipher it. But if you are paying attention to the way you feel, you can decipher it before it actually manifests, and that way you don't miss it. In other words, by reaching for the best feeling thought on any subject, eventually you train yourself into such alignment with it that then you can't miss it. This is just the universe saying to you, you get whatever it is that you want, just line up with the idea of it. And it's also the way the universe is telling you that if you do the mental work, if you do the work of alignment, then the manifestation, the path through which it will unfold, will be delivered to you. But if you get too involved in the details of how or when or who, then you get turned upstream on it, you see.